Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It is the Robin Lundberg Show coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Who stands to possibly lose more from Ezekiel Elliott missing time? Is it the Dallas Cowboys? Or is it Ezekiel Elliott himself? 855-212-4227, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, brought to you by Geico. Great news, there's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. How about Chris in Fort Worth, Texas? Chris, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on?
Hey, Robert, how you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm fantastic. I was just going to weigh in on Zeke here. The thing that people don't realize is when Emmett was holding out, his contract was fulfilled. So he was negotiating. So after that rough start, after the Super Bowl hangup, yeah, Jerry Jones cuts him a check. Thing is, he's not going to do that with Zeke because he's got, number one, a salary cap. Number two, he's got Amari. He's got Dak. He's got to fit in to that salary cap. And then with that in mind, Zeke, yeah, he's a running back. That position is being devalued so much, and over the course of the next few years, it's just going to go down more. But in Zeke's case, yeah, he's got that line, and he knows that he's valuable, and he's going to have to hold out until he can get his check. But I think that the Dallas will be okay for a few games because they got a weak schedule up front until they play in New Orleans, and then Jerry's going to really have to make a decision. So we'll just have to wait and see for that.
Well, I think, you know, Jerry must see a deadline for Zeke to make a decision. I think it's week 10 for him to fulfill the league year, whatever the technical terms are. Eventually, Ezekiel Elliott almost certainly is going to report, or else he could forfeit real money, you know, and he has too much time on his deal to do that. He's not in Le'Veon Bell's situation because Le'Veon Bell was on a franchise tag, which, you know, means it was a 1-year contract, so he was only losing that 1 year by not reporting, not possibly 2 years. Patrick in Ashburn, Virginia. Patrick, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's up?
Hey, how's it going? just to start off, that guy, the Jets fan, dude, the Jets are trash. Get out of here with that garbage.
I don't even remember who you're talking about. The dude from Arizona? Is that what you're talking about?
Before the break.
Yeah.
Before the break. To go on with it, Jerry Jones is one of the smartest owners, and he wants to win. He wants to win. He's going to get a Super Bowl, and he could easily gamble and spend all the money on Zeke and go all in this year and maybe next year. But he's playing it smart. And if I remember, which running back did the Cowboys trade off back in the day and get loaded up with picks and then win a couple of Super Bowls with?
You're asking me?
Yeah.
In regards
to your knowledge,
Herschel Walker? I don't know exactly, you know, if that would be analogous, because I don't think you're probably seeing a haul in of that ilk. But yeah, a trade is not out of the realm of possibilities here. How about Robert in Knoxville, Tennessee? Robert, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Robert?
Good morning. How are we today?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I just had a couple quick things about Ezekiel.
Sure.
So let's see. Last year, James Conner comes out of Pittsburgh, shocks everybody. Dak Prescott 3 years ago comes out, surprises everybody. 14 years ago, Tom Brady comes out of nowhere and shocks everybody. So Ezekiel gets this play time because of college. Well, they got that boy from Memphis right now that's going to be switching out turns for running back right now. I say let Jerry just hang out, hold off, wait until about week 5 or 6, give him a call, see if Ezekiel's got his head right, and if he doesn't, just let him sit out the year. Take the year, start looking at this 2020 draft and taking another shot. I mean, they found Dak. I mean, there's a diamond everywhere. Look at Drew Brees. I mean, it doesn't stop. So there's players out there ready to play. They just need their opportunity. And with Ezekiel sitting out, there's somebody on that bench that wants to play.
Well, it's harder at quarterback. Yes, they did get Dak, but I think that's why you'll see Dak get paid. Part of the problem for Ezekiel Elliott is he plays a much more expendable position, as much as he's been an integral part of their offense. And it sucks for running backs. It does. They're basically human projectiles by trade, and they're hardly valued at all. But you've already seen Tony Pollard talked up. He was, I think, a fourth-round pick. But he's being hyped up, and here's how I view it, right? If you're telling me right now, like, Ezekiel Elliott's going to be out for however many weeks, during that time period, I think Tony Pollard is a really good starting fantasy player. So that shows you how even elite-level production at that position can be approximated. Dean in San Jose, California, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, hello.
What's
up,
Dean?
Today?
Good, man. How are you?
Hey, doing good. Hey, I know the topic's Cowboys or Elliott, who's losing out. And I think Elliott's losing out. I think, he should be in there playing the game of his choice. He signed the contract, go by it. I think it could be a battle of maybe the agents. You never know if the agents have something going on, what agent can have the biggest contract. It could be a battle of egos between the agents. I don't know. All I know is I get my hats off to Ezekiel Elliott if he's staying in shape and he's ready to go if he does get the nod and they do figure this out. I also think that Dallas's offensive line has always been awesome. I mean, a friend of mine out here were Raider fans, and my friend was saying, man, Dallas's offensive line, he goes, I could get 1,000 yards, and he's like 50-something. And so I think this guy, Pollard, probably going to do really good, and Ezekiel is going to miss out because he just should be in there, and he's not. Pollard's going to take over.
We'll see. Yeah, I mean, that all comes down to what actually happens. I mean, that's why I ask who stands more to lose. If the Cowboys start out the gate really poorly, it will look silly on them because, look, they have Super Bowl aspirations, right? So that would be problematic. But if they start out well without Ezekiel Elliott, his leverage kind of falls apart. Jeff in Dallas. Jeff, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Jeff?
Yes, sir. Hey, so I'm a Detroit Lions fan living in enemy territory down here in Dallas. But there's one perspective about the Zeke thing that even the Cowboy fans can admit. Zeke Elliott was targeted and picked for a reason. He was going to be the running back for Tony Romo for their Super Bowl run. Dak Prescott was not their target. He was a fourth-round quarterback. They actually wanted Connor Cook, and real Cowboy fans will know that they wanted Connor Cook, but the Raiders drafted him. So they kind of picked Dak by default. If you didn't draft Zeke Elliott in the number four pick overall, there is no Dak. There is no Dak getting $35 million. There is no nothing. So, as much as I don't like Zeke's off-the-field behavior, and that might be a stumbling block for me to pay him, you got to be real. He is what makes the offense go. He lets Dak be Dak. That's all I got.
Well, look, he's definitely an elite player at his position. He definitely has outperformed his contract, and he definitely takes a lion's share of their offense. Does that mean they can't function without him? That depends on the growth around him, too. I mean, Amari Cooper has not been there that whole time. Tony Pollard is new to the team. Dak Prescott has a few years under his belt. It would be interesting to see. I mean, it would be an interesting story at the beginning of the season if he isn't playing. How about Brad in Knoxville, Tennessee? Brad, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on?
Good morning. How are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you. I just want to make the point that I haven't heard anybody else make this morning. I've just been listening for a few minutes. I don't think you can trust Zeke. You know, he come in, to the league. He had all this baggage with him. He's had problems since he's been in the league. And this is while he was on his rookie contract. You give the kid the highest paid salary for a running back, and what's going to keep him from going off the rails?
Well, yeah, I mean, look, I am with you. I'd be a little hesitant because it was been a pattern of behavior, not one thing. If it was one thing, I wouldn't be as hesitant. But given that the thing with the security guard just happened, of course you had the domestic violence incident, and the Cowboys really fought for him, I understand why they're a little miffed by it. Now, perhaps the Cowboys only fought for him because of his value, right? That's also possibly true. But in this circumstance, more so than almost any other, in a player holdout, I see the team's perspective. I do, because usually I just immediately side with the player. How about Rock in Texas? Rock, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on?
Oh, not much, man. How are you?
I'm well.
Good deal. Yeah, I just want to kind of talk about how Zeke, over the years, it's really never been one player that's been bigger than the Cowboys. You know, most people, they want to look at that situation. They want to say, I know in his position as a running back, he wants to make his money. I think he should make his money. But, you know, we're learning from the Todd Gurley deal and those other things that, you know, a running back's going to break down over time. Is he going to be the same player in 4 years? And, you know, he's made a lot of money, but he hasn't made big time, you know, first number one pick money. And can he afford to sit out and, you know, give up $700,000 over the first 3 games?
Well, we're about to find out. I mean, I don't know his... I've seen a lot of speculating on his monetary situation. I have no idea about that. I mean, he still made, even though he's on a tremendous value contract for the Cowboys, he still made some good money. So I'm not going to sit here and tell you he doesn't have any money. I don't know. He's trying to get a lot of it. He's trying to get the number one. Also, some of this comes into the agent, too. Remember, the agent is, what was it, Drew Rosenhaus in this case? He's probably trying to set the market for running backs with the highest deal for a running back, saying that how could you not, you know, give Zeke a new deal and have it be the top deal. So all that stuff comes into play. Eventually, this gets resolved. Either he returns without a contract, he gets a new contract, or he gets traded. It's not going to be a Le'Veon Bell situation, I don't think, due to where he's at contractually versus where Bell was at. Frankly, I'm surprised it's, you know, gotten this far, considering, one, I was a little surprised he would hold out in the first place, given his history with the team. And then, two, once I heard the report about the difference just being between Gurley's and Bell's money, I thought that meant it was almost done. Now it feels like they're playing hardball again. We'll see how much of this is actually just public negotiation and how much of it is a genuine gap between the two parties. And I think with every game missed, the seriousness of it becomes clear. So far, there are no games missed. However, I want to talk about something a former NFL player said, and that was that the sport should change to flag football and fans would still pay to see it. Do you know the answer to that question? Because I don't. I know everyone just likes to say no right off jump, that they wouldn't watch the NFL if it was flag football. Would you? I want to explore what goes into that question coming up next. 855-212-4227. Would you still watch the NFL if it was flag football? Joe Horn, of course, ex-Saints receiver, I think like a four-time Pro Bowler, said he thinks that the NFL should become flag football to make it safer and that fans still would watch. 855-212-4227. It is the Robin Lundberg Show, and it's here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Robin Lundberg Show.
It is the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio. You know, Joe Horn, I don't know if everyone remembers Joe Horn. I definitely remember. I phrased that wrong. I think he made the Pro Bowl like four times. Pretty good receiver in his prime. And he had the fake cell phone. I think that was his bit. The end zone celebration. So if you've ever seen that, that was his bit. But he was asked this week about the future of the sport, and he said that he thinks it should be flag football and that fans would still pay to see. And I know you hear that and you're taken aback, like, flag football. But it's not that wild, right? I mean, just this past week, we've seen Andrew Luck retire abruptly and basically say, I couldn't play football anymore. It was I was in too much pain. I could not live the life I wanted to live going forward if football was involved. And then a day or two later, Rob Gronkowski come out and say, football was bringing me down. You know, I didn't like it. I couldn't sleep. And those are two of the biggest, strongest people on the planet. So, you know, football is just a brutal, brutal sport. And whenever people are talking about making it safer, the analogy I always use is you can use seatbelts to make car crashes safer, right? Seatbelts have made car crashes safer. But there is nothing that can make a car crash safe. There's nothing that can make football safe without fundamentally changing the game. Now, flag football would be fundamentally changing the game. If you were to say that were to happen, though, would people still watch it? That's the question. And I don't really know the answer for sure. 855-212-4227. Would you still watch? Because, look, some of the top athletes would still be on display. Patrick Mahomes, Saquon Barkley, Odell Beckham. I mean, they'd get to flash their skills even more in flag football. Technically, fantasy would still be viable. Gambling would still be viable. I think the answer to the question of whether fans would still pay to watch flag football comes down to the answer to another question, which is how much of football's popularity, as popular as it is tied into its violence. The physicality, the contact, because that's what you'd be losing. The gladiator nature of the sport. And honestly, I don't know the answer to that. It feels like a lot. And when I've seen this question posed, the stock answer I've seen from the audience is, no, I wouldn't watch anymore. But is that actually true? Would nobody watch it? Is that the appeal of the NFL? Is it that more than anything else? The ability to shed contact, fight through it, get back up, all that stuff. I'm just curious. And I say that as a lifelong consumer of the product and someone who's excited for week one right around the corner, but also someone who now always has in the back of my mind, you know, the toll of the sport and what we now know about it. Would you watch professional football, the NFL, if it became flag football? Would you still watch? 855-212-4227. Let's go to Brian in Richmond. Brian, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's up?
Hey, how's it going, Rob? Robin?
Good, man. Long-time listener.
Personally, I think that I would not be a fan of that, but I do think that there would be a fan if the NFL, as we know it, wasn't really a thing.
So you're saying there would be fans still of it?
I think so. I think that just because the athletic performances that would be shown, but it would be such a different sport. You know, you consider taking out all of the big guys. So
that is true.
You know, it's just going to be a lot of speedsters, elusive athletes that could end up having a fan base.
Well, it would start to resemble sports more like soccer and basketball, right? I mean, essentially, isn't that what soccer and basketball, and even hockey to agree, that's what those sports are. It would start to be more like that. I'll tell you one thing. It'd be one I'd let my kids play at that point. Josh in Florida. Josh, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Josh?
Hey, I played high school ball, college ball, coached it, offensive line coach. I think you're going to lose a lot of fans. I mean, you play because you enjoy the hitting. I still watch because I enjoy the hitting. It takes a huge component out of the game. Huge component.
Well, there's no doubt that it would be a fundamental change to the game. I there's no bones about that.
And if I can just add one more thing, you know, people choose to play. If you don't want to play, don't play it. There are risks like anything else. I'm going to let my sons play if they want to play. And just like you said, you know, as a parent, you have a choice to play it. And when you become an adult, you have a choice to play it.
Sure. And everybody in the NFL is aware of that. There then becomes the, you know, like the, it's a problem the NFL has to deal with. It's not like anybody's making that up, that's a thing. Again, it's a jumping off point this week because Andrew Luck and Rob Gronkowski both have said, you know, football took me down. Look, we're not there yet. It's not happening tomorrow, but it's also not out of the realm of possibility. I always say this when stuff like this gets brought up. I'm old enough to remember when people smoked on planes. Like, that's wild, right? Smoke on an airplane. So things can change over time, depending on more information we fall out. I agree with your overall point. Yes, it is. It's, you know, we all wrestle with this decision, or at least I do, and that's one of the things that I use to rationalize my continued support and fandom of a sport that I know is harmful to people. How about Jeremy in Annapolis, Maryland? Jeremy, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, good morning, man. Absolutely no. Would never watch it. Just couldn't imagine watching it. I mean, I think that's kind of far-fetched. I think there's other things you could put in place, but I think every sport has its thing that people are trying to change, and every sport goes through these kind of valleys and peaks, and so I think the NFL is going through a really hard time now, and so I think there's going to be some safety changes, but I can't see, you know, you're going to almost alleviate offensive and defensive linemen, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah. Not alleviate, eliminate. you would essentially eliminate them, yes.
So we're just playing 7-on-7. So this would be a, you know, arena football league. So I can't imagine 60 to 70,000 fans showing up drinking beer, watching guys pull tissues off each other.
Well, I think that's the question, is how much of football's popularity is tied into the violence. I mean, that is really the question that gets to the core of would you watch flag football or not? Because you'd still see the great athletes, you know, the guys that we really spend the most time talking about, the skill position players, that, you know, most people's favorite, no offense to offensive linemen, most people's favorite player, if you ask them who their favorite player is, they're not going to name offensive linemen. But that is a huge part of the game. And no one's saying anything other. First of all, this is a hypothetical. And second of all, it would, of course, be that's a fundamental change. Not like a tertiary thing, not an ancillary thing, a fundamental change. Nathan in Emeria, Texas, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on, Nathan?
Hey, thanks. You know, an NFL game lasts about 4 hours, and I'm not really a big fan of soccer. I have to say, if you go to flag football, everyone's going to move to soccer because the game's only 90 minutes. The biggest problem I've had with the NFL over the past 5-10 years isn't the change in the rules. It's that they keep making games longer by making more commercial breaks. No one's going to want to watch it if it turns into flag football.
That's fair. That's what I've heard from people. I wonder if it push actually came to shove, if their actions would back up their words. But you may be right. That would be maybe the entry point to soccer for a lot of people. 855-212-4227. We can keep this conversation going. 855-212-4227. But first, going to talk to CBS Sports college football writer and Sirius XM host Barrett Salee coming up next on the college football season, as it is a Saturday here in this country. Is it a Saturday everywhere? I don't know the way that works all across the globe necessarily.
You're listening to the Robin Lundberg Show.
It is the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio. Going to get back to your calls in just a second at 855-212-4227. But first, going to be joined right now by Barrett Salee, CBS Sports college football writer, Sirius XM host. And Barrett, first question, the most important one, Clemson or Alabama?
Neither. I've got Georgia winning the national championship. Both of those teams in the playoff, but Georgia running through Clemson in the semifinal and Alabama in the national championship to win the title.
That's interesting because, you know, everywhere it seems it's Clemson, Alabama, Alabama, Clemson in some order. I think they're split on sports books. What is it about Georgia that you think puts them in the same class and even above?
Well, I think they're in the same class in terms of overall team talent. In fact, Bud Elliott, who does work for the Banner Society, formerly of SB Nation, puts together blue chip rankings every single offseason. And basically what that is he puts together the overall team talent based on recruiting and development and tells you which teams have the best chance to win the national championship. From a talent perspective, Georgia, Clemson, and Alabama are right bunched together, and the gap between 3 and 4 is the size of a Grand Canyon. So from a talent perspective, they're right there. I think when you look at quarterback, Jake Fromm can be a difference maker, doesn't have to be all the time, which I think is a credit to that entire Georgia staff. I think they've got the best running back core in the SEC and perhaps one of the best running back cores in the country. They have the best offensive line in the country, a veteran secondary, and a front seven that, while they didn't get pressure on quarterbacks last year, still held teams outside of the red zone, and once they got in the red zone, you know, stood tall there too. So in terms of being a complete team, I think the one sort of missing piece is that wide receiving core. But, that's the easiest part. That's the easiest place to toss in a true freshman or a redshirt freshman or an experienced kid. And B, I think from a talent perspective, they are completely set there. So I actually think, especially because of Dylan Moses' injury to Alabama, that Georgia is the most complete team in the SEC. And I would argue as complete as Clemson, based on the fact that Clemson has to figure out what has to happen along that defensive line, get some players in the rotation.
That's a look at the national championship picture. I want to talk about a couple other stories that I think are interesting heading into the season. One is Michigan. Jim Harbaugh and that team, you know, they've had some ups and downs, I guess, if you will, and haven't quite had that breakthrough. Do you see this being the year? And do you see him catching heat to the point of job security status being at risk, if not?
No, it's not the year, because Jim Harbaugh has proven time and time again that he is too stubborn to produce an offense that is willing that can win outside of its comfort zone. He's Les Miles for the final 4 years of Les Miles' career at LSU. Hmm. Too stubborn for his own good, gets his hands on that offense, and doesn't understand that in college football, you have to win outside of your comfort zone. Even if you have a great defense, which Michigan has had the last couple of seasons, you're not going to win with defense alone. And when you get into shootouts, you better have the firepower to go win those shootouts. And he doesn't even try to do that, which I think for Michigan fans should be extremely frustrating. If his name wasn't Jim Harbaugh and if he wasn't a Michigan legend, they would be furious, and rightfully so, with how he's operated as a head coach for the first 4 years of his tenure. I don't believe Shea Patterson is a difference maker. And Josh Gattis, the new offensive coordinator, yeah, he sells this whole speed and space offense. A, he's never called plays. And B, is Jim Harbaugh going to get his hands on that offense again? Everything suggests that Jim Harbaugh will do that. And there's nothing to suggest yet that Josh Gattis is an effective play caller, even if Jim Harbaugh stays away from him. So, this Michigan is, to me, is a nice little 10-win team that will, have some moments where they give you hope, but in the end, they're not flexible enough and they're not diverse enough offensively to hang with Ohio State. And I would say this, Penn State might give them a run for their money to finish second in the Big Ten East. Michigan, to me, is the most overrated team in the country every single offseason, and this year is no different.
I think that would be a disappointing season for sure. Robin Lundberg talking to Barrett Salee, CBS Sports college football writer, Sirius XM host here on CBS Sports Radio. How about Jalen Hurts? That's very interesting because, of what's happened with the quarterbacks there and under Lincoln Riley. What kind of season are you expecting from him?
Well, he's obviously in the Heisman odds. I don't think he's going to have a Heisman-type season because he's not going to put up Kyler Murray and Baker Mayfield numbers. And perhaps unfairly to Jalen Hurts, that's kind of the standard he's going to be held to. That said, I think he'll be fine. I think the one thing that I'm not concerned, more just curious about, is how does Lincoln Riley adjust his system to Jalen Hurts? Because Jalen is not like Baker or Kyler. He's more of a downhill. He can run between the tackles. He's a big dude. I mean, I've known Jalen for a while, covering primarily SEC football. You stand next to him, he looks like he's created out of a video game. He is not a slight dude. So I want to see how Lincoln Riley adjusts his offense to Jalen because, all the NFL folks and all these, casual fans sort of think Lincoln Riley is just this evil genius. And I think he's a genius too, but he really has never had to adjust his system as a head coach to a different quarterback. So I'm fascinated to see what he does. That said, I think really in sort of a backwards way, Jalen's overall success depends on his defense. Alex Grinch is there as the new defensive coordinator. Obviously, Oklahoma was next level embarrassing bad last year. If that continues, then I would think that Jalen's not going to have a successful season in terms of leading his team to overall team success and potentially the college football playoff, because he would then sort of be forced to do things that he's not comfortable with or hasn't succeeded with in the past, and that's throwing the ball downfield. So I'm fascinated to see what Lincoln does with him. I think Oklahoma's going to be in the Big 12 title mix. But to me, I think the Big 12, just in general, is far more likely to cannibalize itself than it has been in years past.
Finally, is Oregon and Auburn, that's the game of the day. And do you think, do you agree with the sentiment that Justin Herbert is the prospective number one pick in the NFL draft?
Well, I'm not the biggest NFL draft guy. He's a great quarterback. And I think the question sort of remains, what can he do in big games? They kind of faltered down the stretch last year. You can't argue the arm strength and accuracy at times. I think from a leadership standpoint, you know, that's kind of one thing he has to work on this year. I think if he has a good game against Auburn, then that'll go a long way towards impressing NFL scouts and a long way towards, you know, Oregon potentially contending for the college football playoff, because this is his toughest test of the year for a couple of reasons. One, Auburn's defensive front is just filthy. If you don't know the name Nick Coe, get to know him, because he's going to be Derek Brown's sidekick. And Nick Coe is one of the most versatile, most great defensive players in the entire country. He is going to line up all over the field to help Derek Brown out. So if Justin Herbert has success against that defense, especially considering he has some injury problems with his wide receivers right now, then NFL scouts are going to take notice of that. As far as, you know, what he can be moving forward, potentially a Heisman Trophy candidate. I think as far as what the NFL scouts are looking for, I think if he shows off his legs just a little bit, and I'm talking just a little bit because he can do it, then I think that'll go a long way towards perhaps solidifying himself as the number one pick, because he would then be viewed as a guy who, you know, just isn't a statue back there and a guy who can sling it downfield, a guy who you can be creative with the offense, especially in the days of the NFL where, you know, it's finally catching up to what college offense has been doing for a long time.
Barrett, appreciate the time this morning, man. Thank you.
All right, thanks for having me.
Barrett Solis, CBS Sports College football writer, Sirius XM host. It is the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4227 is the phone number. I was talking before about whether you would continue to watch the NFL if it became flag football. We'll get back to your calls on that right now. Pete in Dallas. Pete, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
How you doing, man?
Good, man. How are you?
Fine. Hey, I just wanted to say this real quick. The NFL is how old? 100-some years old. There have been thousands of guys that played professional football. Let's go to college level. There's been thousands and thousands. High school level. There are only a few people that are coming out and saying football did my body wrong. And, you know, we're not focusing on the thousands. I mean, you look at the starbacks and the older guys. Those guys are not complaining. So it's just this generation.
There's not a this generation thing, man. It's just not okay, true. Okay. I mean, the science says that football causes brain injury. That's what the science says. And then
science also said an apple a day keeps the doctor away.
No, it didn't. That's an expression. That science didn't say that. That's just an expression people use. Hold on a second, Pete. I mean, look, does everyone that plays football come away ravaged by it? No, of course not. I know a bunch of former NFL players who are perfectly well-adjusted human beings. But when you're talking about older players, before they even had a platform to express this stuff, we have no idea. And we're just finding out more and more as we see, players getting further away from their NFL careers. And you talk about Andrew Luck and Rob Gronkowski. Those are two of the biggest, strongest dudes. That's one of the reasons. Yeah, go ahead.
So to me, I see this as the Me Too movement. Oh, he touched me. Oh, me too. You know, it's like, come on,
so
man.
So you're just going to demean something else in the that's not what the Me Too movement is, by the way, exactly.
Well,
there are degrees of everything, right? So I will agree that there are degrees of everything. Not every crime is the same severity. Not every, negative thing that happens to somebody is the same. There should be degrees in things in life, and we should be able to realize that and have nuance and gray areas in discussion. So while some topics lend themselves to genuine outrage, others maybe don't require the same outrage that they sometimes get. I would agree with that. But you're talking about, like, anecdotal evidence, for instance.
Well, no, I mean, there's
Plenty of people smoke cigarettes and didn't get lung cancer. Does that mean cigarettes are good for you?
That's true, but no, I'm not saying that. But my point is that, you know, honestly, man, anything can be bad for you. Water, if you
no, that's not. See, like this is that's just trash. That's not true. You're just trying to justify garbage. Be honest with yourself. We could deal in reality. You could say, I understand, and guys choose to play football anyway, and I love football, and I'm okay with it. Fine, but that's most people. Almost everybody who's listening to this show right now is a fan of football, I would imagine. Almost everybody, if not everybody. But you can't undo reality. I mean, the truth matters. Facts matter. How about Jim in Green Bay? Jim, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's up?
Hey, good morning. I got to say, you know, living in Green Bay and, you know, being raised on the tradition of the Packers and everything, there's no way flag football would fly for me anyway. I mean, part of the reason myself as a fan, if you want to be truthful, watches it is because of the physicality of the sport, for sure. Mm-hmm. And if you're going to legalize the physicality out of the sport, then I don't want to watch a bunch of guys in shorts running around pulling flags on each other, you know. And when you talk about the safety aspect of different sports and things, including football, it's funny that, you know, Dale Earnhardt Jr. comes out and on TV says, I've had 20 concussions in race car driving. So it's just kind of like, okay, you know, every sport has issues. Every sport has things. You can't really legislate everything out in my mind, but.
Well, I don't think you can compare those things. No one's saying it should become. I'm not even saying it should become. I'm talking about what Joe Horn said, who played in the NFL. And it's not out of the realm of possibilities, guys. I mean, like, again, there was a time when horse racing and boxing were the two most popular sports. There was a time you could smoke on airplane. Things do change over time. I'm not saying that that's necessarily going to happen, but when you're equating it to driving car racing, it's not nearly as popular, so it's not going to get the same level of attention. And there's also not, you know, people talk about concussions. One thing you have to realize, I want everyone to take this away, concussions are not the only thing. A concussion in itself is a traumatic brain injury. It's the repeated head trauma that is actually proven to be more problematic. 855-212-4227. It is the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.